Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:12 p.m. That is Pacific Summertime, and today is April 9th. Well, I thought I'd start off today with looking at the ruble, but before that, something that occurred to me just before I started talking about was that there's such a long list of things that I could potentially talk about. The news has been absolutely full of various news items, whether it is with regard to Russia and the additional sanctions, and finally those sanctions are taking a bite out of the CRS index or the RTSI. The ruble, of course, is now also looking like it is breaking down. That's a very clear upper dynamic by the dollar against the ruble, but of course it's more about the ruble falling than the dollar rallying. Then of course you have what's going on in Brazil, you have what's going on in Brazil, Lula surrendered to go to prison, but of course there is an election coming up and its anti-reform candidates are in the ascendancy. The real is breaking down. So here again you have a very clear dynamic, and now the progression of lower rally highs has been broken, and it does look like we're going to see some additional weakness in the real. Well, then, of course, you have what's going on in China and the trade tariffs. So what is really occurring to me is simply that with all of these additional news stories, there's none of them are particularly good news. And that's not something that is particularly bullish. My first instinct this morning, I was very happy to be back at my desk in front of my screens and clicking through the markets, and I was looking at, for example, the Topix Banks Index, and my initial instinct was to buy it, but I demurred. I said I'd wait. I thought to myself, I'll just wait until the end of the session before I initiate a long position in Japan, because I want to see whether this rally holds, and the rally on Wall Street has not held. It was up at almost a 2% gain early in the day, and it closed out the day pretty much unchanged. Well, it was up on the open, so that has resulted in about a third of a percent advance, but that's an awfully long candle, or tail on the candle, to be more precise. We're right in the region of the trend mean. This is a natural area where we get some indecision, we get and potentially bargain hunting, but what obviously needs to happen is something to demonstrate that support is in fact being found. And there are such a large number of uncertainties that are emerging that people are obviously getting a little bit gun-shy about taking out big long positions in the region of the trend mean. That is quite different activity than we've seen over the course of the last 2 years. What it suggests is that the imbalance between supply and demand that was so very powerful all the way from the beginning of 2016 through until the beginning of 2018 has changed, and that best case scenario we're in a ranging environment. But what happens, for example, if the market breaks down below 2500? We're obviously in a much deeper corrective phase. It's probably going to take a lot longer to run through before we can see higher levels. And obviously then the commentary from financial pundits is going to be much more about top formation completion, and there is, of course, the question, what are the Chinese going to do? Well, they're beginning to talk about potentially devaluing the currency, but of course they are also one of the major holders of US treasuries. Well, the treasury market is a little bit oversold in the short term, and there is the potential here that we could see some steadying in treasury prices as the stock market remains rather uncertain. But I think the more likely scenario is that rather than the treasury market being a buy the dips type of market, which has been a profitable strategy for years, if in fact for decades, it's probably now a short the rallies type of scenario. So I think that there is the potential for some additional steadying in the short term, but that medium term it's going to be a short and a rather profitable one, I suspect. But nonetheless, when we look at the futures price in the very short term, it looks like support has been found in the region of the upper side of that range, and the trading now looks rather different from anything we've seen since September, and that alone tells us that we are in a somewhat more uncertain environment from a stock market perspective. Well, one of the most iconic shares out there is Tesla, and it rallied very impressively last week to get all the way back up towards that $300 level, and that's the lower side of that overhead trading range. But this was a large outside day in here today, and it's closing at $289. What it suggests is that we know that there are a lot of outstanding put options that have strikes at 300, and people will have used this opportunity to buy more of them. And this is still a very uncertain environment for the share. It really does need to do more to really begin to reinstill confidence among investors. But the reality is that it is a B- rated entity, and it does not have earnings. That's why you don't have a PE ratio. So, but what it does have is plenty of debt. And when we look at the debt ratios, it's got debt to common equity is 241%, and debt to assets is about 35%. So therefore, Tesla's only asset is its battery factory. And that is a substantial asset in its own right, considering that it took billions and billions of dollars to build. It is a significant asset, quite whether and of course that will be the asset people will bid for in the event that there is eventually a bankruptcy in the company. And I do think that that is a realistic possibility that needs to be considered, particularly when you have this really quite abrupt change in investor psychology, with past support becoming future resistance now. And it really is going to have to work awfully hard to repair the loss of consistency that it has experienced. But there is another share within the automotive sector that's worth keeping an eye on. It's O'Reilly Automotive. It rallied, and these types of companies that are basically retail parts providers rallied spectacularly in 2008 because people weren't buying new cars. But that is a rather significant Type 3 top formation that we saw between 2015 and the middle of 2017. We got a big breakdown, then it rallied all the way back up but did not move to a new high. It's now back below the trend mean. This looks like a rolling over characteristic, and considering that it fell so aggressively in 2017, this is certainly not a bullish pattern. It could be incredibly volatile going forward. And what this also, I think, helps to kind of ram home is the very clear fact that we have had a substantial rotation in the stock market, and it is ongoing. So when, for example, we look around the world, what we've seen over the course of the last couple of weeks has been mean reversion. And for example, India has bounced rather impressively from that 10,000 level, and it is now testing the progression of lower rally highs. But I think that the most likely scenario is that we are going to see some additional ranging. But as long as that 10,000 level it holds, then we can give the medium term the benefit of the doubt on the upside. But when we look elsewhere, then Indonesia has got a very similar pattern. It pulled right back to the region of the trend mean, and it is firming. When we look within some of the weaker currencies, the Philippine peso remains on a fairly clear trend of underperformance relative to the US dollar, and it's currently in the region of 52 to the dollar. That is weighing on the stock market. So the Philippine index is one of the few in the ASEAN region that is trading below its trend mean, and it really does need to rally in a rather dynamic fashion to begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then elsewhere in the troubled currency category, you've got the Turkish lira, and that saw it breaking downwards to new lows again. So again, when we look at, for example, how the dollar has performed relative to other currencies, it's not surging higher. This is more a story of weakness in the lira, the rupee, the peso, and the real than it is necessarily about any particular dollar strength. When we look at the dollar versus the euro, it is firming from the lower side. The euro is firming from the lower side of its range, and this remains a reasonably consistent uptrend. Now, there are a lot of long positions in the euro, and I think a pretty crowded trade, thinking that the dollar is going to continue to weaken. But so far, this is still a reasonably consistent advance by the euro, and the pound also remains reasonably steady and continues to hold the region of 141. Well, obviously, you have increasing calls for an additional referendum in the UK, and I think that there are reasonable grounds for that, considering that the initial question that was posed to voters was highly polarizing. It was a very black and white answer, and the solution that has been negotiated is anything but black and white. So, therefore, I think it is only reasonable that people have an additional say on whether they think they are getting what they voted for. Well, that has been the conclusion the market has realized over the course of the last few months. This has been a rather inert range, and there has been a fair amount of uncertainty, with the cross rate being unable to sustain moves above 114 since the end of last year, but that is now changing. The rate is at 114.70 and so far has held onto this advance. As long as it's holding the 114 area, then we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the conclusion that the UK will end up closer to the EU than perhaps a lot of people had initially thought was possible, which would probably heighten the call for an additional referendum. So when we look around the world, what I think we are that we have plenty of evidence of is that we're still in a medium-term correction. And when we look at gold, it is right in the middle of its almost four-month range. It's at 1,336 and firming within that range. So when we look at this over the medium term, what I find quite interesting is I get I still get a significant number of emails about gold from various subscribers and people sending me reports. I generally find that most of them are pretty low quality, that some of the most vociferous bulls on gold are either those that have are hewing to these long-term forecasts of five-digit prices. And there is certainly one category, but then you have the people that would be more than willing to jump on the bandwagon if the price broke out, but are being very cagey about making any kind of bullish forecast, that they have been conditioned by the ranging environment we've seen over the last 2 years. Personally, I think this is some of the most bullish action we've seen for gold in years. And that's why I've got long positions. But what I find rather emboldening is that people that have previously written about gold and largely ignoring the price action and being very bullish throughout this long basing formation have lost heart. And that I find to be a rather positive perspective. So I think, you know, as long as gold is holding the region of the trend mean and is holding this progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of 2017, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And in much the same fashion that people look on oil as, on gold as a potential safe haven, they tend to also look at oil in the same light. And oil prices were up $1.50 in here today. This is a pretty impressive rebound. There is an upward bias evidence since February. Obviously, there is resistance in the region of $70 because we know there's a great deal of supply becomes economic at those levels, but nonetheless, oil prices represent something of a safe haven and a reasonably uncorrelated asset compared to the stock market. And it is reasonably underowned. Well, when we look at the continuous commodity index, the majority of the industrial commodities rallied in here today, and so did the agricultural commodities. There has been a progression of higher reaction lows within this range evident since the middle of last year, and it is now firming from the region of the trend mean. But I think it is worth taking the time to look at some of these agricultural commodities, because corn is coming up towards the upper side of what is so far an almost four-year base formation. Soybeans has been subject to a great deal of volatility because of all these considerations about tariffs, but it has firmed from that 1,000 cent level and continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows as well. Wheat prices have been somewhat weaker, but they are also coming up towards the upper side of this base formation and firming again from the region of the trend mean. Cotton prices are a pretty similar characteristic. So what I find rather important here is that we're starting to see base formation, or at least base formations are evident in the vast majority of the agricultural commodities, particularly the grains and beans. I think it would be a stretch to say that we have clear basing characteristics in either coffee or sugar just yet. But for example, rough rice has got first step above the base characteristics and is now pushing up towards the highs that we've seen over the last 3 years. It's been quite a while since we've had commodity price inflation. But what we are starting to see is some stress coming through in the kinds of markets like Russia or Brazil. And then if we have commodity price inflation starting to push through, then, well, it was food riots in Tunisia set off the Arab Spring back in 2011. And with the rise of populism, and obviously today as well, we had Orban coming through with a very clear mandate in Hungary. Well, commodity price inflation is the kind of thing that can foment these the rise of populism in an increasing number of countries. So there is the possibility that we are going to move into an increasingly uncertain environment on the geopolitical front. That's despite the fact that a lot of the considerations about North Korea have eased somewhat over the course of the last few weeks. But with commodity prices starting to strengthen within their bases, I think it is worth highlighting that there are a significant number of the potash companies have been in these rather protracted base formations for a significant amount of time now. And Potash Corp of Saskatchewan and Agrium have merged. But Nutrien, which is the company, or is the merged company, is also back in the region of its lows from February. So I think we are at a rather interesting juncture for the agricultural sector, and not least because it's cheap, and certainly at rather depressed levels. And in the current environment, there's not a lot that we can say is depressed, or that is at is still within its base formation. When we look at, for example, something like Google, which has been rallying in a persistent manner for years and has now had a bigger pullback and is right in the region of $1,000, well, it is going to have to rally and continue to hold that $1,000 level if the benefit of the doubt is going to be given to the upside. Then what I saw just before I started recording is that Morgan Stanley has come out with an overweight in Nvidia. Well, Nvidia would have been a wonderful overweight at the beginning of 2016. It would have even been a great over, despite the fact that it was the best performer in 2016. I didn't think it was going to double again in 2017, but it did. And it would even have been a great overweight at any point in 2017. But is it still an overweight when we have this correction going on? This is now the largest correction we've seen in the share price. It is now it is almost completely unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it's going to have to demonstrate support in the region of 200. But one of the more consistent points about this trend was that it had ranges one above another. And then it dipped back into the range, and it would have triggered or come very close to triggering a midpoint danger line stop when it pulled back in. When was that exactly? In February. Now we're coming back down towards the lower side of that range. So we have seen a loss of consistency at the penultimate high, and now the question is whether this $200 level is going to hold. If $200 fails, well, then it will have broken the downtrend, the uptrend, and it is multiples above where it was before the uptrend got going, and the valuation is at 31 times, and when we look at the PE ratio rather than the yield, well, back in before the rally got going, the PE was close to about 18, and on a historic basis, now it's closer to 50. So we have had some substantial multiple expansion as well, and it is going to require a significant improvement in earnings to really justify the levels that the share is trading at. So I think we are at again at this rotation that we have shares that have done spectacularly well, and these are still highly impressive companies, but they are losing uptrend consistency. And then there is a small number of sectors that are depressed, but that we are starting to see evidence of some support starting to come through. The fact that these are cyclical sectors, and that they generally tend to do well in the latter stages of a bull market, will, I think, be a rather important point that people will be paying attention to. Well, one of the other things that was coming through today, it was a story about the yield curve. Now, when we classically look at the 10-year minus the 2-year, then what we have is this ratio has been contracting, or excuse me, the spread has been contracting since really since 2013, and it's currently at about 50 basis points. It isn't usually until the market moves to an inverted position that we see we're going to have a lead indicator for a reliable lead indicator for a recession. But there was an article on Bloomberg today talking about the very short side of the curve. So the 1 month OIS, the so when we look at that, there is an inverted condition looking out to about 2021 to 2022. That is where the forwards market is beginning to start thinking that we will have an inverted yield curve. Well, we're currently in 2018. So if that's indeed the case, then we still have a fair amount of time before this becomes inverted. And even then, the next recession would probably be anything from 6 to 18 months after that. So despite the fact that we are in a medium-term correction and a more uncertain environment, this does not look like we're going to have a recession imminently, but that we know that credit conditions are tightening. The one of the other important spreads that people were looking at back in 2007 was the TED spread. It spiked higher in early 2018, excuse me, in early 2008, with the bankruptcy of Bear Stearns. Then it really spiked higher during the credit crisis, and it is now starting to strengthen once more, and that is obviously because of what's going on in the LIBOR market. Now, if we look at the 2-year on an individual basis, it has paused in terms of its advance, and it's at about 2.25%. So certainly there is potential here for the 2-year to continue to rally, but considering that we are in a more corrective phase for stock markets, investors are willing to think that perhaps we're going to see some pause in terms of the selling pressure on the shorter end of the curve. So I think these are things that I pay particular attention to, because generally speaking, credit tends to lead to the stock market. That's also why I'm keeping such a tight eye on Tesla, because it represents such a large weighting in the high yield sector. But so far, the high yield spreads have been very tight. They are not trending higher yet. I think it is inevitable that they will start to trend higher eventually, and when they do, well, when they've been trending higher for a while, generally that contributes to a more volatile environment on stocks. I think that, again, when I started out, I was saying that there was a lot of things to talk about, and the fact that there are so many things to talk about really does suggest that we are in a more corrective phase overall. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.